Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Halfway home with you here on a Friday night. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. You can stream us online at 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Gets us live replays of the shows, breaking sports news, our finest moments. Check us out, too. We got the promo of myself and WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long up online, Facebook and Twitter. And you can check it out through our website. Download your radio.com app to keep us on the go. Social media is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow along on those platforms. That way you can see what we got going on behind the scenes and a little bit of fun stuff. Like I said, we cut a promo with Teddy Long for our social media folks out there. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. This is the Falcon Flyover. Falcons coming up Sunday. All your action right here on 92.9 The Game versus the Carolina Panthers at home. Pre-game at 11, 1 o'clock kickoff. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane, woo, with the pre-game. Wes and Dave will have the call. Of course, Wade Ford Tailgate Show will be before that with my brother from another mother, Hugh. I texted Hugh, by the way. I know it's Falcon Flower, but I texted Hugh at like 5:20, 5:30 this morning, something like that. Because I guess 11 Alive was right across the street at Woodruff for their can drive or something broadcasting. I said, hey, Hugh, she was over there. So, she got that duck butter going, right, Jarvis? Anyway, good news for Falcons fans, as it was confirmed that Chris Lindstrom will be back on the offensive line. Now, he won't play the entire game. He will get some rests and breathers. Did I really say that word? He will get some breathers and some rests tomorrow with it. They will play some guard by committee. But good to see Lindstrom back in the fold. I think it is important for him to get reps and get back into all of some, regular game shape and playing. You can think about it short term. You can think about it long term. I just think that getting NFL reps in real live games being played is important. I think that only helps for what they've got going on. And I do think there's going to be more changes to their offensive line when they get through the offseason. And we'll talk to Jason Budd at 9:40. Beat writer for The Athletic for the Falcons and get the scoop on kind of where they're at with all of this. Julio Jones, we know, will play. And also returning will be Austin Hooper, who, of course, will be going into his free agent year this year. Very interesting to see what exactly the Falcons decide to do with Austin Hooper. Would they franchise him? Are they trying to work out a long-term deal? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with all of this. But Austin Hooper will be back. Julio, Hooper, Lindstrom, everybody going to be back. And it looks like Gano will be in the mix for the right guard rotation as well through all of this. So good news there. I do think it's important to get Chris Lindstrom. That's why you invested a high draft pick in him, is to get him on the field and get him playing. So I think it's good that he's going to get some reps out of all of this. We talked a little bit last night. It is fascinating about how the Falcons just can't seem to figure it out at home in the Dan Quinn era. Only 19-19 at home after being 39-17 under Mike Smith. And look, in the NFL, it's all about, you got to win at home. It's hard to be a really good team in the NFL if you can't figure out how to win your home games. If you can just kind of break 500 or, just even slightly less, you can figure out things if you can win games at home. But if you can't win at home, it's tough to be a good team in this league. That's the old rule of thumb is, win all your games at home and then split on the road, and you'll probably be in the playoffs, quite often. So I don't know what it is. You would think for a team that has brotherhood and all this kind of stuff that home field would be an advantage. You can't blame the crowd, because the crowd's always been that way. It's slow arriving on a 1 o'clock games are Sunday, are always slow arriving crowds for the Falcons. That's always been the way that it is. That's nothing new for all of it. So you expect all that, but I don't know. I you would think with Matt Ryan, who's been here for all that, that they would be better, but there's just some kind of disconnect, you know. And I say all the time, look, they're not coached very well on Sunday, and that's not a new thing, but, you know, it makes it tougher to win, you know, on game day when you just can't out-talent, out-personnel people. When the Falcons have to find ways to scheme their way through something, it doesn't always quite work that way for them. So we'll see. Falcons in action at home against Carolina, trying to pick up that fourth win. Let's get to the audio of the day. Let's start with the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons as Matt Ryan talks about how Calvin Ridley, now that he's gotten a chance to kind of be more involved in the offense, has really produced.
I think Calvin's done a great job of kind of expanding his role for us. With the Muhammad trade, you know, at the midway point, I think, you know, he's handled it really well, and he's become a bigger focal point of our game planning, and he's produced, and he's had some great games for us and played and been productive for us. So I've been impressed with him from the minute he stepped foot in this building.
Well, I will tell you this. Calvin Ridley has, without question, grabbed a hold of the reins and certainly been one of the guys that has stepped up once Mohamed Sanu, has left. We talk about guys that when they get that chance, look, I think Calvin Ridley is going to blossom into a star in this league. And if they can, you know, this is sort of like Julio and Roddy. And I say it from this stance. I'm not trying to compare Ridley to Julio. What, remember, when Julio came in, you know, Roddy was the big dog, the all-pro and all that kind of, and everybody knew Julio was going to, eventually be the guy. But, you know, eventually this is going to be where, you know, Julio will be that number two guy. And ideally then, Calvin Ridley is that number one guy at that point. You know, it's not unrealistic that in a few years, the roles of those two guys reverse themselves, where Ridley's a one and Julio is a two. Not knocking anybody, but you've got two really, really dynamic wide receivers. You got a quarterback who can find them, you know, in the offense. So I agree with Matt. I mean, I think Calvin Ridley has been one of the, you know, I wasn't sure what his numbers would be at the end of the year. I didn't think he'd really have much of a step back from a yardage standpoint, but I thought maybe the touchdowns would be down a little bit, but he's been terrific thus far. Let's hear again from Matt Ryan as he talks about his new right tackle, Caleb McGarry, and getting ready for Sunday.
I think Caleb's a competitor, and for a young guy, he's a great professional. As part of it, being a young player, there's going to be weeks where it's tough sledding. His day-to-day approach is really good. Thought he did a nice job in practice first. He'll be ready to play really well on Sunday.
That's what you got to have is a short memory in the NFL because you got to turn right around. Now, listen, they got to protect their quarterback, guys and gals. They have to find a way to make sure that they protect their quarterback. You can't allow your quarterback to take 15 sacks in 5 days. That's an absurd amount of sacks to have to take for any quarterback. I don't care. Young guy, old guy, it doesn't really matter. Taking that much hits in the NFL for a quarterback is just, it's tough to continue to bounce back from all of that. So they need McGarry to step up. You know, Lindstrom obviously being back. Maybe that helps a little bit. You know, we'll see. But the offensive line certainly has got to play better. But look, I still believe Caleb McGarry will be inside, you know, starting even maybe next year possibly. Maybe the year after. I think Caleb McGarry, long-term, you look at him as a guy who plays on the inside part of the offensive line, not being on the far outside. Let's hear one more clip from Matt Ryan. Remember, he is now in the top 10 all-time in yardage, you know, in the 50,000-yard range. Here's him talking about that, but winning at home would certainly be better.
It's obviously something I'm proud of, and to be able to do it hopefully at home and get it done there is exciting. But more important than anything would be, you know, getting a win. All the hard work that we put in this week, you know, to try and accomplish something like that in a win would be great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, Matt's yards are great and all that kind of stuff. Randy McMichael and I disagree a little bit on this. I don't think Matt Ryan's getting in the Hall of Fame without winning the Super Bowl. I think there'll be a lot of guys with a lot of yards, and I think you're going to have a lot of quarterbacks that put up a lot of big numbers, and I think Matt's going to kind of get lost in the shuffle. And I'm not saying Matt Ryan's not been a terrific player, but I think Matt is going to get kind of lost in the shuffle from everything. And I think that's going to be one of the problems. And I think winning the Super Bowl would have completely changed all that. I think it would have put Matt right in the driver's seat to be a Hall of Famer, but I think without that Super Bowl, because that's how quarterbacks, fair or unfair, so oftentimes get judged. Let's hear from Desmond Trufant interrupting Isaiah Oliver as he acts like a reporter and tries to ask him a question.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, that drill is tiring. Why y'all doing me like that?
A 4-interception season. I mean, just one of the better corners in the NFL. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Hey, I just get busy, baby.
You know what?
Y'all crazy.
How about this? Can we just pick some pass off? Man, it's fine. I mean, you're a 3-9 football team. You know, it's fine. I mean, do what you got to do, man. What do I know? You know, I'm just some ham and egger here on the radio. I just want to win football games. I just want a team that just goes out and wins football games. That's all. You know, I don't need brotherhood, and I don't need the bear to be loose, and I don't need high Hunger Games index, and do right longer and embrace the suck. I just like winning football games. So that's fine. Whatever. Whatever. Here's Kadri Allison. Kadri Allison talking about not worrying about his number getting called more often.
I don't think I want it called a little bit more. I just want to win more than that. If that means getting my number called more and it gets us to win, then great. But I'm not itching to get my number called more. I just want to help the team win.
I asked Jason Budd about this, and we'll hear his interview coming up at 9:40, but you drafted Kadri Allison in, what, the 4th round? Can he get some playing time? And you can tell me about Freeman and Kenyon Barner and Brian Hill. I mean, either you think Kadri Allison has some upside, and if he does, then play him. That's the thing I don't understand is that if you got guys that you think have upside, I personally don't think Brian Hill has upside. I think what you see out of Brian Hill is what you get. I think Brian Hill is what he is, and he's where he's at, okay? You know, he's a second or third running back in the NFL. That's what he is. But if you think Allison is a guy who could be productive and has some upside, then play him and give him a shot. Or at least give him some snaps. But, I mean, the whole we can't dress and all this kind of stuff. And, I mean, with all due respect, it ain't like they're immensely talented in the backfield. With Freeman Hill and Kenyon Barner, it ain't like they're immensely talented or something. Not like they're so good that there's no room in that crowded backfield, but I guess it is what it is. I just would like to see him get some snaps and get some carries and allow him to see what he can do. And if he can do something, he can, but let's start trying to figure it out. All right, coming up, that's live. Couple of things. One is I want to talk about the James Bond trailer that came out, yesterday, I believe it was, or Wednesday maybe, whatever it was. And also, two, a single dad up in Akron, Ohio, my neck of the woods, put an ad on Facebook, put something in the marketplace in Facebook, and we'll get your thoughts about that. Maybe it's time to hear from Junkyard, too, by the way. We can get his thoughts about it as well. A lot going on in the Key Studios. That's Life coming up next. Chuck, we're here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Key Studios. 9:22 on the John Chuckery Show. You all know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929 is the phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. By the way, Oregon up 17-0. Utah getting hammered right about now. Hey, by the way, join 92.9 The Game this Saturday. Pre-game championship live broadcast at Stats Brew Pub. It's off Marietta Street. We're going to be there from 9 to 4. Doors will open at 10 on Saturday, tomorrow. Plus, we're going to have bar game competitions, chance to win Stats Brew Pub gift cards, lots of stuff going on. Come by and hang out. Fricky and Hugh, Mike and Carl, then myself and Randy Mack and Chris Goforth for College Football Game Time. Andy Bunker will sit in for a segment with us, and he's not going to be happy because right now Oregon just kind of rolling along up 17-0. Utah better find some offense pretty quick or this one will be over, and they're not a team that's really built to come from behind. So a couple of things I want to get into tonight, and I know a few people have tweeted me at JMCH316 about it. Y'all know that I'm a huge James Bond fan. James Bond is my favorite franchise of all time. The first time I went to the theater and saw James Bond in the movie theaters was Moonraker. That's the first Bond movie I saw in the theaters. I've seen everyone in the theaters since Moonraker, so I go back a ways, with Roger Moore as James Bond. I like Daniel Craig a lot. This is his last go-round, No Time to Die. They brought in, you know, it took them a while to get this because they brought in a couple of different directors for this. If you're not familiar, what's his name? Rami Malek, guy who was Freddie Mercury. That I think he won the Oscar for Freddie Mercury in that movie Bohemian Rhapsody. He's the bad guy in this. And they're bringing some of the folks back from the last movie, Inspector, which was not very good. The story was ridiculous, Inspector. It was so simplistic and just kind of just didn't make any sense the way that they try to tie everything in there. So they did bring Blofeld back, and then he's his brother. It's just wasn't good. Wasn't a good story. It's pretty disappointing, especially considering how great Skyfall was. That's what's crazy about the Daniel Craig movies, by the way, with James Bond. They're either really good or they're not good at all, and they kind of go one right after the other. This should be a good one because Casino Royale was tremendous. Casino Royale's low-key becoming my second, third favorite James Bond movie ever. Then Quantum of Solace was dreadful, and part of that was because they had the writer's strike and they couldn't get a good script out of all of it. Skyfall, oh, tremendous. Skyfall is really good. Spectre, eh. So now we get the fifth installment, and if history holds, this one should be pretty good. It looks pretty good. I like the fact that Jeffrey Wright is back. Looks like there's going to be some good action. They said there'll be some good action in it. I love the updates to the Bond car. If you saw the preview for it, they kind of do some cool things with the Aston Martin in it. I did like that. I like the fact, like I said, Jeffrey Wright brings back Felix Leiter. I like all that as well. So I like seeing, you know, listen, I'm a guy that likes the hits. If I go to a concert, I want to see the hits. If I go to a James Bond movie, I want to see chicks getting sexed up. I want to see gadgets, and I want to see cool locations. I want to see James Bond beat people up. Sorry, that's what I've grown up on. That's what I've known for 50-something years of James Bond. Oh, can he say that? Yeah, that's what James Bond does, right? He defeats the bad guys, sexes up all the girls, drives away in the car, and he smokes, by the way, too. And Daniel Craig is a smoker, by the way, but he doesn't smoke on screen, which is kind of funny. But in real life, he is a smoker. He actually does smoke cigarettes. I liked it. I thought it looked pretty good. My only thing is that I hope they have a good story with it. Because they're going to kind of, they keep this thing where they kind of continue. Supposedly, this is set 5 years after the last movie. And like I said, the last movie wasn't very good, and that wasn't a very good story. So I'm just hoping that they've got a good thing. By the way, somebody on the text line said, told you Oregon's going to win. Didn't I come on the air on the highest rated nighttime radio show in Atlanta and said that I liked Oregon to win this game tonight? Okay. All right, so and we can get Junkyard involved in this, Jarvis, if he's running around out there. I don't know if he's out there listening or not. Story from the Akron Beacon Journal. A single dad up in Akron posted a picture of himself in a teddy bear onesie and put it on Facebook's marketplace. Now, I don't do Facebook, so I don't know all these things. But I was told that Facebook Marketplace is like a pretty good place if you want to go like sell. So if I know this is not going to sound right. It's going to be very simplistic. So it's sort of like Craigslist on Facebook in some ways. Yeah, like you can sell stuff, including yourself, I guess. On there, and I'm not saying pimping yourself out, but I'm saying you can sell different things like that. So, Matthew James posted on the Facebook Marketplace saying that for $10,000, he'd be someone's Christmas boyfriend for all of it. Now, I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, and he said I'm trying to have fun with it and all that, but he said he got 500 women to reach out to him for it. I don't blame the guy. As I told Teddy Long, everybody's got a gimmick, right? Now, as I understand, and help me with this, it's cuffing season, right? Am I right on that, Jarvis? We're in cuffing season? So you're supposed to be with somebody right now, right? And it is the holidays. And let's face it, I mean, there are a lot of lonely people out there, men and women and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, listen, women need a boyfriend, guys need a girlfriend, right? You got parties coming up, you got this, that, and the other. You don't want to look like the loner, you know, unless you got like a group or something like that, but you don't want to necessarily be the loner at the holidays. Now, $10,000 probably a little steep, and he said he'd negotiate, but I don't know. I don't have a problem with this. If I was a single guy, hey, why not, you know? You need a boyfriend? Oh, wait, is that our guy? Is that our guy? Oh, wait. We hadn't heard from him in a while. Junkyard out in Midtown. What's going on, Junkyard?
The Junkyard is in the building, Tucker. What's going on?
Man, it's been so long since we've heard from you. First of all, happy holidays to you as we move along toward the Christmas season. So hopefully you're making some money to be able to buy everybody presents.
Well, the Junkyard is always making money, Chuckery. That's why I haven't called in lately.
So what do you think about this idea, Junkyard, of, you know, saying I'll be your Christmas boyfriend, pay me a little bit of scratchole, and you can rent me out to be your Christmas boyfriend? I don't think it's a bad gimmick. The guy got 500 women to respond to it.
Now, how much we talking?
What happened?
I said, how much we talking?
Well, the guy wants $10,000, but no one's going to pay him $10,000. But let's say somebody said, look, for the next couple of months, I'll give you $2,500 to be my boyfriend, and you got to go to the parties with me and hold up appearances and be something that you're not. You know, you got to lie. I mean, you got to lie to be it. And you got to, listen, you got to play the gimmick. You got to play the role. For a little bit of scratchola, would you do it?
Well, the Junkyard doesn't like to pimp himself out. However, like you said, before I came on, it is holiday season. So the Junkyard will be willing to put his services out there on the street for all the lovely ladies to know that the Junkyard is ready and willing for $2,500.
Yeah, I mean, listen, no one's going to pay $10,000. I mean, you know, not even the sugar mamas, you know, for something like this are going to pay $10,000. And he's not the ugliest guy in the world, you know, but there's somebody for everybody. And he said he was maybe hoping to try to meet a good woman out of all of it, but it's not a bad idea. I mean, why, you know, now, again, people are going to jump to conclusions, Junkyard, because in 2019 we got to, you know, oh, it's sexist and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? It's like we're going to jump to conclusions, but why can't a guy do something like this? And maybe there are some women that wouldn't mind just kind of paying to have a boyfriend and knowing that when it's all said and done, they don't have to have any kind of commitment in it.
Well, you know, Chuckery, the Junkyard always believes that you can find love in many places.
Yeah, and all the wrong places, too.
Online.
Yeah.
Offline. Around the line.
Channel 2 WSB on TV. What, huh? I'm sorry.
WSB, 11 Alive, CBS 46.
Yeah,
the Junkyard believe in love.
I'm with you.
I can't knock it, man.
I'm with you. I'm
okay, don't knock it till you try, Chuckery. That's my motto.
No, I'm with you. So, are you like me? Like, if you were a single guy, Junkyard, hey, listen, I'd pit myself out, and if you need a boyfriend, you don't have to pay me $10,000. Pay me some expenses, buy me some nice gifts, and I'll be your boyfriend for a couple of months.
There's nothing wrong with that, Chuckery. Women do it all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, let me tell you.
From what the Junkyard hears, women do it all the time.
Let me tell you, I've put many a young lady through chiropractic school and real estate school, so I know. Okay, Junkyard.
Hey, Chuckery, I got a couple of my regulars coming in the car with me, man. They pay big money, and they fit real good, so I got to go.
I understand. Pimping ain't easy. See you, Junkyard. There you go.
Junkyard is out.
There you go. There's our guy, Junkyard, bringing some sanity to the show for all of it. Yeah, listen, if I was a single guy, I'd do something like that. I could see doing something like that. And I know, it offends people. Oh, that's sexist and all that. Okay. I mean, it's the oldest profession in the world, folks, right? It's been around since men and women. You're going to pay for it one way or the other, so might not make a few bucks off it. All right, Jason Butt from The Athletic covers the Falcons. We will talk to him next as we get ready for Falcons and Panthers coming up on Sunday. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuck Reed Show as we come to you live on a Friday night. Well, after getting their turkey handed to them on Thanksgiving, Falcons back in action and more divisional play as the Carolina Panthers come into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Here to help us try to figure it all out, we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our guy Jason Butt, who covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. As always, you can follow Jason on Twitter. He is at Jason H. Butt. Jason, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for jumping on a few minutes with me on a Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem. Thanks for having me on.
Jason, can you confirm or deny the rumors that after 15 sacks in two games that Matt Ryan will or will not be wearing an Army helmet to try to protect himself on Sunday?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think he'll be able to do that per league rules. But, yeah, I mean, he has been taking a beating of late. And getting Chris Lynchard back, I think that's going to be one of the first areas everybody looks. You know, can that addition help him out? Granted, Lynchard is expected to get rotational time. He's going to start, but he's not going to play every snap. But it'll be a good look at him because, you know, they drafted him to be a big time presence up front to help Matt Ryan. And he hasn't had that protection all year long, and you know, it's obviously been a problem considering the fact that Thomas Dimitroff and the Atlanta Falcons front office went out of their way at the time it seemed like they were upgrading the offensive line and to make sure they had reserves in case of injury. And it still hasn't mattered with Lindstrom getting hurt, Carpenter in and out of the lineup a good bit this year. So, getting Lindstrom back is a good step. But, at the same time, you just have to wait and see to hope that maybe this week Matt Ryan will be able to stay upright more often than not.
You know, Jason, I think if nothing else, I just think the importance of getting Lindstrom real snaps in an NFL game. I mean, yeah, you want him to play well, and obviously, yes, you want him to try to protect and help Matt in the short term. But I don't think it can be underestimated how important this last quarter of the season to at least get live game reps and bullets for a guy who's going to be a central figure of this line, because I do believe that there are going to be changes again on the offensive line and especially at center next year when you look at the kind of cap money that can be saved. So I think it's kind of maybe the low-key storyline to really watch is the fact that Chris Lindstrom is going to get a good bit of playing time these last four games.
Yeah, and I agree. But at the same time, there's two schools of thought. Like, rest him, make sure he doesn't get hurt going into, with a catastrophic injury going into next year, or what they're doing, which is if he wants to play, let him play, even though there's nothing, no playoffs to play for. And Lindstrom's a guy who, just talking to people, he's somebody that kind of actually feels bad that he hasn't been able to play, even though it's not his fault. You know, he got hurt, broke his foot. You know, today was the first time he got to talk to the media since the injury. And he said that, when it happened, he just kind of looked at Tyson Braylor, who was in on offense at the time, and was just like, I think I just broke my foot. And, he tried to play through it, then he tried to talk himself out of it. Like, nah, probably not that. Keeps going, obviously toughed it out until he couldn't. And, since then, he's just been down, and he felt bad about it. And this guy's one of the quintessential blue-collar, football is life kind of guy. And so the fact that he can play and finish out this season is huge for him. But like you said, getting the game reps so that next year isn't his rookie year, essentially, is huge. So, assuming he's able to come out of these four games fine, that gives him, 4 3/4 of work for the year to build on as he goes into next year, which he'll obviously be the guy again at right guard. And like you mentioned, there is some uncertainty on the line, considering they have to figure out ways to manufacture cap space, and the toughest decision they have to make does center on, no pun intended, on Alex Mack with his $8 million cap figure for 2020.
Jason Butt, Falcons beat writer, joining us here in the WaitForIt.com hotline. Do you think the decision about Dan Quinn's future, staying, going, anything like that, is 100% set in stone at this point? Or do you think that there could still be, with four games left, ability for him to influence whether he stays or goes?
As crazy as it sounds, I don't think it's 100% set in stone. I think for a lot of people, it seems like it would be because, the 3-9, it's just been a – and it's not like the Chargers, where the Chargers are just finding crazy ways to lose by one score in the fourth quarter. A lot of these losses have been by double figures or a game like the Saints where, they're getting blown out for the most part and they make it interesting – the score at least interesting late. They've been outmatched in a lot of games. And so you would think after a season like this that followed last year's 7-9 season – which was really 4-9 until they got to play three, bottom tier teams. That Dan Quinn would be in serious trouble and on the way out. But you know, you're just not hearing that right now. You know, there was actually more buzz about that before the first Saints game, and then they won two in a row. And now it's just you're just not hearing any kind of conversations like that. At this point, you know, if they go out and they win three of these last four, they look inspiring, and it gives Arthur any kind of reason to believe that Dan Quinn can deserves one more chance to turn it around. You know, that wouldn't surprise me in the least. Again, as crazy as that sounds, because I think a lot of fans and a lot of people out there, you know, those who have essentially said enough is enough and stopped coming to games and have voiced their displeasures on social media and on talk radio. I assume a lot of those people are thinking and hoping that there is a change made. But with four games left to go, based on everything that stands right now, I'm not 100% convinced that it's a definite thing that will occur.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show. We're on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, Jason Butt, joining us here as we get ready for Falcons and Panthers. We'll have all your coverage right here on 92.9 The Game, your home of the Atlanta Falcons on radio. You know, Jason, besides Chris Lindstrom, I do think that getting a chance to, you know, see Kadri Allison and some of the other younger guys, and it's been such a strange season in some ways for some of these guys, especially Allison, where, you know, he gets back-to-back weeks of a touchdown and then can't seem to see the field. What, talk to me specifically about him. What, why has it been such a struggle for him and DeAndre Sanat, I should say, just for some of these young guys to really get a chance to get some exposure and get on the field?
When it comes to Allison, I think he is more of the victim of a crowded room right now. Somebody who I'm not so sure they are comfortable as a pass catcher. You know, Brian Hill's improved in that area. Devontae Freeman's obviously had that as part of his skill set. Quite frankly, that's where Devontae Freeman's actually had his most success this year is catch passes. You know, he really hasn't been able to run the ball effectively. When Ito Smith was healthy, you know, he got a lot of run. And then Kenyon Barner's kind of been that third down guy since Ito Smith got hurt. You have a guy who's just in a crowded backfield right now. They obviously drafted him for a reason. I think having a crowded backfield this year indicates more, to me at least, what the team might be thinking in 2020 when it comes to Devontae Freeman's future with the team, given his, you know, there's a chance to save $3.5 million by either releasing or trading him. So that's kind of just my thinking right there. And of course, given Freeman's season to date. But that's really where it stands with Allison. There's just a crowded backfield. But, you know, Deidre Sanat, he's a guy who, we'll just call it how it is. I mean, he's not ready to play that much right now. It's just there are guys who are better than him, but the team hasn't seen enough. And that's just, you know, going back to the off season, there really wasn't anything he did. It was very quiet when it came to him, when his name's brought up. He was somebody that as coaches and as other players were talking about guys, he wasn't one of them. But he's still very much in a developmental stage. You know, as a third-round draft pick, you know, that obviously, if you're a coaching staff, if you're a front office, you're thinking, okay, well, you know, today's NFL, that has to speed up. You know, it used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you had 3 to 4 years to get accustomed to the playbook, learn everything, and get going. But now it's year one, year two. If you can't get it by year three, your job's in jeopardy. And so, for Sanat, he's got to hope to really put it all together and then get on the field. But I would say definitely not as good as other players issue than a crowded position group, if that makes sense.
When you factor in everything, Jason, just all the different factors, performance on the field, ability to re-sign, you know, position they play and their contract and looks from around the league, where do you think the higher priority would lie? Austin Hooper or Devondre Campbell to try to bring back?
Probably Austin Hooper, just because you know what, you know, his rapport with Matt Ryan is exceptional. He's very, very valuable. Whether it is over the middle, whether it's on third down, you know, in an offensive-driven league, you can't have enough guys like that. I just think his value as a tight end, upper-tier tight end, even if you don't think he's an elite tight end. You know, I think guys like him are so much harder to replace than Sam linebackers. And that's not taking anything away from Devondre Campbell. You know, I think Devondre Campbell will command a decent contract, a pretty good contract in free agency. But if you had to pick one or the other, I think in today's league where you know the rules are skewed to the offense, you want to be explosive on that side of the ball. You know, you've kind of seen that these past 3 weeks not having Austin Hooper has been a detriment to them. And you know, getting him back will certainly be a lift this week. And so if I had to pick, I'd have to lean toward Hooper and just his ability to make plays when they matter, to be clutch in certain situations. He's really come a long way since his rookie year. And but you know, it goes back to that cap question. You know, can they bring him back? You know, given that he's likely to make over $10 million a year. You know, if he hits free agency, you know, I don't even know if the Falcons could potentially franchise him because of the price tag, you know, which will probably be over $10 million for the season. So, you know, those are the tough decisions they have to work through because, you know, a guy like Hooper, you can't guarantee that you'll replace him with somebody in the draft. And if you want to replace a guy like him with a top tier tight end coming out of college, then you're going to have to use one of your early round picks. So, it's definitely a tough deal that the Falcons are in right now because, you know, they re-signed a bunch of guys in previous years, and now you're looking at guys like Campbell and Hooper who they may have to just part with because they've already, you know, sent those dollars elsewhere. And, you know, in a league where, you know, the salary cap there is there for parity purposes, and therefore you're just not allowed to keep everybody, and they may be – those two may be victims of that.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason H. Budd. He's the Atlanta Falcons beat writer for The Athletic and join us here on the waitfor.com hotline as we get ready for Falcons and Panthers coming up on Sunday right here on your home of all things Atlanta Falcons. Jason, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for joining me. And we'll see as we try to get back on track for a victory. Thanks, Jason, as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on and have a great weekend.
You got it. John Chukwu here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.